Okay, Ramban Parshas Chukas. So we know the beginning of Chukas starts off talking about the Paraduma, and it's called the Chukah. So Rashi says, because this is one of the things that the Umas HaOlam make fun of Klal Yisrael and say, what's the point of this mitzvah, Paraduma? So it's called the Chukah. So the Ramban says he doesn't know why they would be more making fun of this mitzvah than any other karbon. All karbonos, so he can explain it. But he says, no, this one is different because this karban is, you know, it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash. You burn the paraduma outside the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore it looks more Avodah Zarah-ish, and that's why they're making fun of the Jews, or what's the purpose of it. Anyway, that's why it's a chukah. And then he explains al pisod what the reasoning is, but I don't know sod. So if you know sod, you can look it up. And he also just mentions what's this doing here all of a sudden, paraduma. It's because it's done ayde kohen, and it's similar to the matnos kohuna. That's how he presents it. That it's a privilege to be bringing the paraduma to be metahir kal Yisrael, and that's another thing that was given to the kohanim to do. So that's for it follows the Matnas Kahuna. Okay, then we have the fact that the Torah says that it should be given to Elazar HaKohen to do it, Aaron's son, the Skan Kohen Gadol. So that Rashi says, Mitzvah so Beskan, that's who you're supposed to give it to. So the Ramban says that it's not that it's supposed to be always. This particular first Paraduma was supposed to be with the Skan, not always, says the Ramban, and he quotes a brisa or whatever, Sifri, that there's machlokes tanaim. Is it the forever supposed to be done only by the Kohen Gadol? That's Rabbi Meir Shita and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ben Yaakov all say that other paradumas could be done by anybody. So why was this one done by Elazar specifically? So the Ramban gives several reasons, or some very interesting. One of them is because since it's an avoda done outside of Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't look so nice. So therefore, we didn't want to give it to Aaron HaKohen. Or to be Mechanech Elazar in something of Kohuna Gedola in the future. Or that it was an onesh for the eagle to Aaron. That because of what they, you know, this paraduma was like kapar in the eagle. And since Aaron had in some level sinned with the eagle, therefore this wasn't given to him. But anyway, that would all be that one generation, not future generations. Future generations are, any Kohen can do it, according to most Tanaim, according to Rabbi Meir, only the Kohen Gadol. And the Ramban happens to hold that the Halach is like Rabbi Meir. It's only done by Kohen Gadol. Okay, then we also talk about the concept, the Torah talks about the concept of, Bechalal Cherev, Cherev Ariel Kechalal. That if a sword or a piece of metal touches a dead person, so then that piece of metal becomes just as tame as the dead person. So in other words, usually in the world of tuma, you have something tame. Let's say a sheretz is tame, dead sheretz is tame, and you touch it, you touch a dead rat or whatever. Now the sheretz was an av hatuma, and you become a rishon l'tuma. It always goes down the next. Touch food, then it becomes a sheni l'tuma. It always goes down a level. Not by metal touching a dead person. That's cherev ariel kechalal. It maintains the same level of tuma so that when a piece of metal touches a dead person, the dead person has avi avosa tuma. The metal is also avi avosa tuma, and the person touches metal becomes an avatuma. Okay, that's the concept of cherev ariel kechalal. Of course, it's a drasha. The pashup shot is just someone killed by a sword. But make a drasha cherev ariel kechalal that the metal becomes just as tummy as the mace. Now, the Ramban says a chiddush. This is a machlokes rishonim what the halach is. But if you say it's just as tummy as the mace, so a mace is matami ba'ohel, right? If you bring a dead person into a house, everything in the house becomes tummy. What if I don't bring the metal into the house? But I don't bring the dead person into the house, I just bring the metal into the house. So this piece of metal or sword, whatever, that touched the dead guy, if it's just as tummy as the dead guy, so then if I bring a sword or a piece of metal that touched a dead person into a house, the whole house should be tamei ba'ohel. If you really go in the full level, that means if there's a mace in a, imagine a regular funeral, right? So the mace is metame ba'ohel. So if you say, if you go to the full extreme, that would mean that there's tumas ohel on any metal in the funeral home. So let's say everybody's glasses that are made out of metal would become just as tame as the dead guy. And then that person walks into any place that guy walks into, or lady, whatever, wearing glasses. Now you walk into another room. If that is metame bohel, you're now being metame everything bohel, and basically everything becomes tame bohel. Is that true? So the Ramban says, none of it's true, actually. It only works, with Nagia. Just having, if the cherev even touched the dead guy, and you bring that into a room, it's not metame bohel. Cherev ario kachala does not work with Tumas Ohel. So, if the metal that touched the dead guy is metami b'maga, and b'masa, like the dead person itself, not b'ohel. Meaning, it's not metami b'ohel at all. And, it's not metami b'ohel at all. And he says, he doesn't know how, maybe they found some meat from the pasuk. You know, the Ramban doesn't know how Chazal knew this, like where it says that, but there are other rishonim that hold it's not true that it is metami b'ohel. But the Ramban says it's not, and he says, maybe they found a meat in the pasuk of Adam Kiyomus b'ohel. But he says it has to be that it's not metame bohel, because otherwise the kohen couldn't walk anywhere. Because everybody goes to a funeral home wearing glasses, and then if that's metame bohel, a kohen can't walk into anybody's house. He doesn't give the example of glasses, obviously. But it's the same idea. And furthermore, he adds, this piece of metal or sword that touched the dead guy, even if you touch it, now he said it's just as tame as the dead guy, we already said it's not metame bohel. It's also not metame you enough that you need para aduma sprinkling. You don't need it. In other words, if mace is aviavosatoma, now let's say someone touches that mace, now he's an avatoma. Now he touches a second guy, that second guy is arisha latoma, he does not need para aduma. So, similarly, if you touch the metal, even though the metal is the same level of tuma, that the person who touches it becomes an avatuma, but they don't require the paraduma, according to the Ramban. He does say, though, that you are tummy for 7 days. Like, you just don't need the sprinkling of the paraduma, but if you touch this piece of metal that touched the dead guy, then you still need 7 days till you're tahor. But all this type of stuff, he says, a kohen doesn't have to worry about it, meaning, you know, Kohen's not allowed mitami, not allowed to get tumas mace. So he says it doesn't apply to this. That's not the iser. A nazir who had this type of tuma is not megaleach alav, meaning if this charev kechala is not literally like the dead guy. It just has some chumras, like we just said, that it becomes, that it doesn't go down a level of tuma, but it's not something that a Kohen has to worry about. Okay, then we get to the story of Moshe's sin with the rock. What happened? Okay, so everybody knows Rashi's version that they didn't talk to the rock, they hit the rock. And that caused a lack of Kiddush Hashem, because if they would have talked to the rock and the rock would have given forth its water, everyone would have made a Kal v'chomer. If the Sela will listen, so too I should listen. Okay, the Ramban has a different shot. First of all, if Rashi was right, why did Hashem tell Moshe to take the stick? What was the point of taking the stick? Take the stick to do nothing with it? What was the point of taking the stick? So there are other Rishonim have an answer to that of why he would want to take the stick anyway. But, okay, so that's Ramban's question. Why would you take the stick? And the Ramban asked the question in kind of the way maybe we would want to ask it. What's the difference if he hit the rock? Meaning as far as the Kiddush Hashem, it would be less of an ace. Would it be less of an ace if Moshe hit the rock? Supposed to talk to the rock. I'll just quote you his words. It's all the same to the rock, whether you hit it or whether you talk to it. It's the same level of miracle. What in the world? What's the difference? Everyone's going to see it's obviously a super miracle and they would give thanks to Hashem and know that they should listen to Hashem. Then he says that Ben Ezra says the chait was that because the people were Mavalbel him, whatever, they messed up his kavana. He wasn't able to have, you know, full kavana when he first tried with the rock, again, and because the people were rebellious. So he tried, then by the time, but the second time around, he was able to re-get his kavana, and then he was able to have the proper kavanos, and then the mayim went out. He said, still, the Ramban doesn't like that shot, because it says, lohe mantem be lak tishin, it has nothing to do with amuna. Then we have the Rambam. The Rambam says, because he got angry. Moshe got angry. That was the big Avera. Okay, so we have the Rashi, who says, as he was supposed to talk to the rock. Ibn Ezra says, it's because he didn't have the proper kavana, and the Ramban doesn't like, because that has nothing to do with a lack of emunah. And the Rambam's pshat, it was anger. And Moshe showed anger. He let the people get him angry. And that's a big chil Hashem, that people should see the person that they look to, that everything Moshe did, they knew it was Hashem Shamayim, it was for Hashem. And if Moshe's angry, it must be Hashem's angry at them. And Hashem wasn't angry at them because they were allowed to ask for water. So it was inappropriate, therefore, it's a chilul Hashem that Moshe got angry, and that was the chait. So the Rabban asks the same question. It says, Yana she lo hemantibi. What does that have to do with Amunah? It has to do with the kas, according to that. Also, the Rabban doesn't like, what does he mean that the Rambam says Hashem wasn't angry at them? Hashem was angry at them. They were complaining to Moshe, which is basically complaining about Hashem. And the pasuk says, Hema mei meriva she rova b'nei Yisrael es Hashem. So, if they're getting in a fight with Hashem, of course, that was an Avera, and Hashem would be upset at them. And as far as what the Rambam says, that we don't, you know, they asked for water, and the Torah doesn't say they did anything wrong. The Rambam says, of course, it's called Mei Meriva. Of course, they did something wrong. They're fighting with Hashem. But the Rambam says, it doesn't say that Hashem said something bad to them. It just said, Kacha Masamata, and do it. Get them the water. So, the Rambam explains that, since it was an appropriate thing to ask for, not that they complained about it, the complaining was not appropriate. The mislonin in al Hashem, that was a chait. But to ask for water is not a chait. So since that was not a chait, so then since Hashem has rachmanas, Hashem just said to Moshe, you know, just said how to give it to them. But it was still a chait, the complaining part. So the pshat that the Ramban likes, as he says, lidchos es hashoal, he doesn't think this is the absolute answer, but it's a good answer you can't ask questions on, about what the chait was. And that was that Moshe said, Min ha-sela hazeh notzi lachem mayim. We will bring out water from you from the rock. He should have said, Yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. Hashem will give water from the rock, he said. But rather, Moshe didn't say that. Moshe said, we will get water from this rock. It made it sound like Moshe was doing some kind of magical trick to get the water out of the rock instead of coming from Hashem, or somebody could have thought that. In fact, someone did think that, so that's why it was Yan Ashelo Mantabi Lak Disheni. He didn't make the Kiddush Hashem. So the Lohe Mantabi is going on Klai. So you didn't believe in me. You thought it was Moshe, thought that it was Moshe who did some kind of shtick. So anyway, according to this, Moshe hitting the rock was not the problem. He brought the stick to hit the rock. That's not the problem. The problem was what they said. It said notzi lechem instead of otzi lechem, and that caused a lack of emuna on the part of some of Klal Yisrael, or at least put a thought in their head, and that was the big avera, that they thought that Moshe had somehow used magic or whatever to somehow to get water out of there without Hashem. Anyway, but the Rabban thinks the real pshat is has to do with sod. So, okay, ayin shom. Okay, then Moshe tells them, Shimon ha-hamorim, ha-minasel ha-zen ha-tilach-hamayim. Listen, rebellious ones, well, Hashem, well, that's the question, what is the hamin? So, literally it means, ha-minasel ha-zen ha-tilach-hamayim. Can we get water for you from this rock? So, Moshe, the Rabban says, Moshe was not sure. Yeah, it's definitely not meaning he wasn't sure. What he was saying to them is, you Morim, this is what you were thinking. You were questioning God. You were thinking, is he going to get us any water somehow? And you didn't have faith in Hashem that he would do nisim with you. So that's what he meant by that. It was saying what they were thinking. Rebellious ones, you know, this is what you were thinking, that has Hashem going to do us nisim. Okay, then we have later on, after that whole story is over, a very interesting thing. I think it's easy to skip over. When they try to get Edom to allow, when Kaiso wants to pass through the land of Edom, they try to get Edom to allow them. So Kaiso says, Bamasila Nala, Vime Mechanishta, you know, if we go on the path, if we drink your water, we'll pay for it. Actually, they said that exact question in the second half, but when they originally talked to Melech Edom, they said these words for the first time. Lo nita yamin esmol, they said they weren't going to drink anything. Lo nita meber da chamelech nelech, lo nita yamin esmol, ad ashen ra'avor gvulech, until we pass your boundaries. Okay, now, the Ramban points something out. When he's talking to Melech Edom, they said, ad ashen ra'avor gvulech, until we pass through your boundaries. Why are they passing through their boundaries? They don't say. Kaisel just says, we'd like to go through. Can we go through here? And if you look in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chavtes, it says, Kasher also leave b'nei, when Kaisel is asking Sichon, not Edom, asking Sichon, in our Parsha doesn't say this, but it says it in Parsha's Dvarim, they said, we'll pay for the food. And Ad Asher Evor, it doesn't just say Gvulecha, it says Ad Asher Evor is Hayardein Elaretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosein Lanu. So that's not just saying we're going to pass, we just want to pass through and none of your business where we're going. In that pasuk it says we're going to pass through your land to get to the promised land, to get to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabban says, because they didn't want to poke Edom in the eye, they didn't want to tell Bnei Esav, we need to pass through because we got to get to Israel, the thing that we stole from you, you know that thing? So that, you know, since the Esav thought that they stole the Bechorah, which of course they did not, but Esav thought they stole the Bechorah, therefore they didn't want to remind Esav why they wanted to pass through the land. Okay, then we have Elazar taking over for Aaron. So it says that Elazar, Aaron took off his clothes and Elazar put them on. Okay, so that just means that one would have to be standing not dressed in front of the other, because the big day kuna are straight on your clothes, on your body rather. And, that would not be appropriate. So Rabban brings that an ace happened. And, you know, they can't just switch. In other words, you can't just have Aaron take off the outer garments and then Elazar put those on, so he's clothed, and then, like, you know, put the michnasayim are like shorts, right? Those, the pants that are part of the big dekun are like shorts, or if you will, boxers, like shorts. So those go on straight on the body. So you could have suggested, well, maybe Aaron took off the outer garments first, Elazar put those on, so now no one has to see each other not dressed, because you can't do that. It has to go in an order. Michnasayim must come first. So Aaron would have had to take everything off, and then Elazar take. Anyway, so it would be inappropriate. So the Ramban says an ace happened, that when Aaron got undressed, so he was not left standing there undressed. He was clothed with big day shechina. Who knows? I'm not sure what that is, but that's what it was. Big day shechina. So Aaron at all times was clothed, first with big day kahuna, and then with big day shechina, whatever exactly that means. Anyway, it seems that it's not just there's a seder to the levisha of Elazar. It sounds like there was a seder to the unlevisha of Aaron. Both Aaron had to take it off in the right order, and Elazar had to put it on in the right order. And we do see that Aaron, now he's saying the miracle that Aaron was clothed, Elazar would still have had to be unclothed to put on the stuff. But I guess that part happened. The main thing was that Aaron, who was his father, was covered. Okay, the next point is, it says, Vayishma Knani Melech Arad. King Arad heard about what happened. Heard about that. We know the Ananiah covered went away. But anyway, so Knani Melech Arad. So the Ramban says Arad was in Israel. And we know Klai Yisrael did not cross into Eretz Yisrael to attack anybody, and it's Knani, so they're from Israel. So how does this work? The Ramban says they were in Israel, and they left Israel to go fight with the Jews. When the Jews killed them, it was only many years later, in the times of Yeshua, and later that they fulfilled their nether to destroy the cities of Arad, because none of them went into Eretz Israel now. So they just killed the people trying to kill them, and they were in Machrim, their cities, later when they went into Eretz Israel. But this was someone from Eretz Israel who came out to fight with the Jews. Okay, then it says that they got in a war. Vayish bimenu shevi. Vayish ma'knani melech Arad. And it says, Vayilach b'Yisrael, Vayish bimenu shevi. So Chazal tell us the shevi means one. Exactly one shivcha. The Ramban says Chazal made that drasha because any time they went to war as a melchemes mitzvah, nothing happened. It was totally miraculous in all the days of Moshe. So nothing could have happened. It must be this one shevi. So when they sinned, things happened. If they were sinning, like we know, if they said, Ayesh Hashem Rekabenu, Mayim, then people could die. But if there was no sin, then nothing would happen when they went to war. So it must be that this was, one person was captured. Okay, then just I think this is the last thing, by the Nachash, that when Chai Shal complained about the man, so Hashem sent against them the Nachash, or the Saraf, to be very specific, Nachashim Hasrafim. These are Srafim, poisonous snakes. So they were dying. And what did Hashem say to do to heal them? To put copper snakes on a staff, whatever, a pole, so that everybody should look at it and then get healed. So the Ramban says this was to show you that it was all from Hashem. It was all Nisim. Because the worst thing in the world, the Ramban, you know, is a doctor. Not just the Ramban was a doctor too. The worst thing you could do, for a sickness, the Ramban says, is to remind someone of it or make, you know. So if they were bitten by a snake, the last thing you want to do is to take a snake and shove it in their face. That'll make them feel sick to themselves and their stomach. It'll make them worse. So here, he did that just to show it was all min hashamayim. Okay. And also when Rashi says that it was a nachash nachoshes, that it was lashon nofel alashon, the Ramban just says poisonous snakes, I guess, then were in the midbar were, that color. And he doesn't mean what it says. And he made it to, he wanted to look like the ones that had bitten them again to make it the most as possible looking like the snake that had bitten them to show that it was all nice, because that should have made them a lot worse. And he says you find this concept also. Remember, some understand that when the water became bitter and Hashem said throw a tree in it, and the tree was supposed to taste bitter too. It's the same thing. It's all to show us min hashamayim. I forgot. I'm sorry. There's another Ramban in Shvi that's very important. There it's talking about that Moshe was poseach l'shalom to Sichon. He said Ebra b'artzecha. So Rashi says even though he didn't have to be poseach l'shalom, he did. The Ramban says that he thinks that there was a mitzvah to always be poseach b'shalom. If you're going to go to war, you have to first be poseach b'shalom. But, with the exception of Amon Amomov, but here he said, Eber b'artzecha was considered a chiddush because Moshe wasn't planning on going to war. He knew that this was not the time to conquer all the Eser Amamin. He did not want to be in a war with them. So there was no need to be Pasech B'Shalom. And he did it anyway, at Derech Pius. But again, there was no, Moshe did not intend to conquer these lands. After all, had B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven not said anything, the Ramban says, that it would have just stayed destroyed and moved on, because Moshe was not trying to conquer these lands right now. And the reason this Ramban is so important is because then he goes on to say, why not? In other words, it's something always to think about. You know, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wanted to live there, and this became their Nachlas. That means it's Eretz Yisrael-ish, right? But it wasn't supposed to be. So, what is it then? So he said, it's a lesser Kedusha. It's a lesser Kedusha. A lesser Kedusha than Eretz Yisrael itself, than the Eivre Yardin. Like he says, it's Chazal saying the Eser Kedushas, that Eivre Yardin is not fit for the Shechina, and you can't build the base of Mikdash there. Now, of course, you can't build the base of Mikdash even in Israel outside of Yerushalayim, but it means it's not roi for Asherah Shechina. One very last thing, and then we're done. At the very last pasuk. It says, "Al tiro." So don't be afraid of Og. Rashi says, "Why would you be afraid of Og?" Not because Moshe was afraid of him, but because he was afraid he might have had a schus because of what he did for Avram. The Ramban says that, but he also quotes a medrash that says that Moshe might have been afraid that somebody did an avera, like happened by Achan. And that's why he said, Hashem said, don't be afraid. But he was afraid that they had done Me'ilah in the Melchemes Sichon. And they went to war with Sichon. Moshe was afraid that they were Moel. And therefore, they were going to have a problem here with Og. So Hashem said, don't worry about it.